Some of you may ask, what is a blessing? And today I want to give you a few explanations of what the blessing is. Blessing is a spiritual force that God released that increases you and multiplies you. And it's not talking financially only. When a lot of people think of blessing, number one place we go in our mind is that financially I will be blessed. But as we read for the last 2 weeks in Ecclesiastes chapter 6 verse 2, it says, God gives a man riches, honor, glory, everything that he wants, but he does not let him enjoy it. Listen to this. So a man to whom God gives riches and wealth and honor, so that he lacks nothing for himself of all that he desires, yet God does not give him power to eat of it, but a foreigner consumes it. This is vanity and an evil affliction. So how many of you know you can be blessed and honored and have glory and still be not happy? So to me, the blessing is ability. It's a force that gives you power to be happy. You know that you can be poor and happy, financially poor and happy. You can be poor in spirit and happy. You can be rich and happy. We don't believe in the doctrine that says poverty is the only way to godliness and poverty is the only way to happiness. That's not true. Have you ever been in a situation where you tried to pay your bills but you didn't have any money? See, there is godly way to be poor and there is godly, ungodly way to be poor. Now let me give you three things that comes to my mind. Ungodly way to be poor. Bible says that a lazy man shall be poor. You know that laziness or slothfulness is one of the seven deadly sins. Slothfulness. Bible says a lazy man puts his hand in a cookie jar and is too lazy to pull it out and bring it to his mouth. A lazy man says, there's wind, I can't sow today. A lazy man will never reap a harvest. So laziness is not godly way to be poor. You know, we use that scripture, blessed are the poor, right? And there is the spirit there too. But people sometimes are lazy and say, I'm blessed because I'm poor. No, you're poor because you're lazy. You need to get your butt up and get to work. And if you have too much time, you gotta go and get two jobs. If you're not married and lust is or temptation is coming into your life, get two jobs. Work hard. Get yourself busy. If that doesn't work, do a ministry, especially young people. This is very important. Start some kind of a ministry. Do something for other people. Don't be idle-handed. Idle hands is devil's workshop or playground. So laziness is a sin, actually. It's one of seven deadly sins. So if you're poor because you're lazy, you got a problem. Don't come to God and say, God, the devil is attacking my finances. Oh, and my boss doesn't want to give me a raise. Of course, in McDonald's, they're not going to give you a career raise. They're not going to pay you 20 bucks an hour. You know, 3 hours a week is not going to do it. It's okay when you're young to do that. But when you grow up, it's time to take yourself more seriously. Amen. So there's blessing that comes for working hard and not being lazy. Second thing, not a godly being poor. Bible says this, he who spends his money on prostitutes or on women, on harlots, will never be rich. He'll be broke, Bible says. So if you are into changing girlfriends, if you are into, you know, always dating, always doing something, but never really, never happy, you will be poor. Women will make you broke, guys. But in marriage, at least, you know, another story. My wife is not here, so. If you buy all the toys you want after you get a paycheck, and then you decide to pay the bills, you got a problem. It's not Satan attacking your finances. It's you not having enough wisdom to live according to the principles of the Bible. I was talking to some people, and I know some people in my life, in my family, they buy every toy because they deserve it. I deserve it. I work hard. Oh, I deserve it. Like nobody else is working, you know? Like you're the only one special. You know, you work and now you deserve a cookie. They go buy all the toys. They buy all the video games. And then they find out they don't have enough money to pay the bills. And then the devil is attacking my finances. No, let's re-examine it. That's not the devil attacking finances. That's you being, as Pastor Judy says, not stupid, but dumb. You're not stupid, you're just dumb. You made a dumb decision. And if it keeps repeating every month, you're making a dumb decision every month. And if you make a dumb decision every month, it makes you... You're not stupid. You're just... And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to your neighbor. Okay? Or actually, I'm talking to people who are not here. The point of a blessing. So if you spend money on harlots or on girlfriends. In our day, it's girlfriends, you know. Number three step, ungodly being poor. Ungodly being poor is when you do shady business deals. When you do a lot of shady business deals, you cheat people, you lie to people, and eventually those lies catch up with you. And to the point where you become broke. The court takes everything. The lawyers takes everything. Even the public defender takes everything from you. You know, even what you don't have, they take. That's not a godly way to be poor. And then you're saying, the whole world is against me. No, we have to be wise in how we re-examine our life. I know I'm talking common sense, but sometimes common sense is not too common in our... People don't use common sense anymore. And then we start blaming. It's Obama's fault. It's the politician's fault. It's Bush's fault. It's the rich people's fault. You know, they rob the poor. No. You're lazy or you're a man slut. You do shady deals. And when you do shady deals, when you don't pay your taxes, you start looking in the window. You start looking through your window. As soon as somebody starts knocking on your door at 8 in the morning, you think it's the sheriff's department coming to get you. As soon as somebody starts driving in your driver, you're like, oh, it's the cops. What are they going to do to me? They're going to take me. But the thing is, but there's godly way to be poor. I grew up in a country where rich was, you could not be rich. I grew up in a communist country where my parents, my mom and dad, was not allowed to go to college. Because you had to be a communist on your passport in order to go to a higher education level. And so my mom worked as a cleaning lady in a big building, you know, in one of those project buildings. And the thing about those project buildings, there was bottles being broken there. And you had to clean the steps, you know, and elevator usually didn't work. So you had to walk up the stairs in 80s and stuff. That's what I remember. And she would work there and there was puke because people would get drunk and puke. And there's broken bottles. This is what I remember because sometimes she would take me with her to go and help her out. So my mom used to work that, and that job didn't pay anything. I mean, just paid bare minimum. My dad worked in mines. And he works in mines, and he wasn't getting paid much. And we had seven children, and you know, there was just no opportunity to get no more finances. That's all you could do. So there's godly people who are poor, and there's wicked people who are poor. As you can see, there's godly people who are rich. They got there because the blessing of God got them there. Remember what the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. This is not me saying it. That's the word of God. So if you don't like it, go to it. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow with it. But he who wants to get rich the world way falls into many traps and temptations. Okay, so there's two ways to be rich and there's two ways to be poor. None of them, the good way to be poor and the good way to be rich is okay. And the negative way to be poor and rich is not okay. Okay? But what God wants to do, He wants to bless you. The first thing He spoke into the life of Adam and Eve, He said, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. That's God's desire for you. In the book of Genesis, later on, we see that God desires to bless Abraham. We can trace the blessing, God blessing people throughout the Bible. Later, Jesus Christ comes, and He is the seed of Abraham. And Bible says that in Galatians 3, that the blessing of Abraham through Jesus Christ comes upon us. God wants you to be blessed. Now, it's not always financially. Don't just think financially. It's your health. It's your family. But bigger thing, what I want to say is, blessing is God wants you to be full of joy. God, not just joy, He wants you to be happy. Because in another translation, the word blessed means happy. Happy is the man who, and so on and on. So, blessing is a spiritual force that God released to multiply and to increase in your life. He wants to increase joy in your life. He wants to increase love in your life. He wants to increase peace in your life. Yes, He wants to increase finances in your life. You know, I probably told this story before. When I was 9 years old, my mom would send me, because we had so many kids and we live in such a small house, my mom would send me for summer to go to my uncle's house in about 70 miles away from our house. Not 70 kilometers, so like, what, 40 miles? 40 miles away. And I would go to my uncle, and he lived on a farm in a small town. And the whole family, the interesting thing is, the whole family was just blessed. And he had interns, college interns, come and work for him because he was a contractor and a farmer together. And well, I saw the neighborhood people would get drunk, and I heard a lot of things in there. These college students, for some reason, for summer, they couldn't live in the dorms in the summertime. So if they didn't want to go home, probably just like here, they had to find a place to live. So they would knock on my uncle's doors and say, hey, would you have any work for me? I would live for you, and you wouldn't have to pay me that much. I would just stay. And one guy, I remember, and I remember at 9 years old, for some reason, his question was stuck in my memory. He said, this is my second year living for with your uncle and working for him. He says, I'm thinking of becoming a Christian now because you guys are all so successful. He's like, you don't drink, you don't smoke. But I just remember him saying that. He says, I think he wasn't thinking of getting saved. He was thinking of joining the religion. Because for some reason he thought, if I join the religion, I will get what religion has to offer. So obviously he wasn't really knowing Jesus yet. But he just saw with his eyes what God was doing for these people. And he's like, I want that in my life. And he probably came from a broken home. And these words, when I was 9 years old, was stuck in my brain. I still remember them. I'm like, wow, I didn't know how to evangelize. We weren't taught. In my church, we weren't taught to evangelize. We were just, you know, you go to church and you do good. You don't, you know, because, and anyway. And so God wants you to be blessed in every area of your life. Let me give you some more. It's a force that allows you to enjoy your life, your purpose, your wife, your job, your children, and everything that you do. Blessing is the force that allows you to enjoy. That scripture we read, it says that he has it all, he can't enjoy it all. Have you ever seen people who have a great wife, but they just can't enjoy it? Bible says in Proverbs, it says, enjoy the wife of your youth. And then it describes what and how and everything. You can read that for yourself. But Bible says enjoy it. And there's people who just could, they go for it, they pursue it, and as soon as they get it, they can't enjoy it. Blessing is ability to, it's a force that gives you ability to enjoy it. Blessing is ability to give you, to enjoy your job. I hear so many people say, I hate my job. And then they get a new job, I hate it too. And you always hate your job. Come on. Blessing is ability to enjoy it. Why? If you're going to get stuck there anyway, why not enjoy what you're doing? Right? You can always find something negative about it. And sometimes people who walk without a blessing, it's a cup half empty. And God wants you to see a cup more than half full. Amen. God wants your cup to be more than half full. He wants you to be blessed. I'm going to give you what T.D. Jakes says about blessing. T.D. Jakes says this. Blessed is an ability to succeed over adversity. It's an ability to, and I want to say with joy. It's an ability to overcome. What comes to my mind is, have you ever had cats? You know how they say cats have 9 lives? When you throw them down, and I don't know if they have 9 lives because I've never tried 9 times to. But the thing about cat, when you throw them off a 3-story building, I've never tried this. But But the thing about cats, they always land on their feet. Blessing is an ability to overcome adversity and land on your feet. Have you ever seen people, they climb up, and then they fall and crash to the ground, and then they... You've seen those people. And then they're like, man, every single time I do something, I just want to give up. I'm like, man, you need blessing of God in your life. Because blessing of God, it's not about, you know, it's not about that we're perfect Christians. It's not that we're better than unbelievers. It's not. It's just sometimes God just gives that blessing in our life and we get ourselves tied up. We dig ourselves a hole and God somehow, some way lets us out of it. And He beats us up a little bit. He chastises us, Bible says, because He loves us. But he won't just throw you away. I've never felt in my life like God has thrown me away. I felt spanked. I felt paddled. But I've never felt thrown away. Have you? God, he will paddle you in private. If you don't change, He'll paddle you in public. If God wants to get rid of anger, if you're yelling at your wife, first He'll talk to you. But if you don't change, He'll send your friend to come and hear you yell at your wife, the whole thing. Then you'll be embarrassed. You'll have to change. If you don't change, He'll send the cops on you. Then He'll put you in the paper. So if you don't change, God has a way. But the thing about God, He never abandons you. He'll push you into situations where He'll make you either change or hate Him. But the reason He puts you in those situations, because He says, can you pass this test? And the faster we pass the test, the faster we say, okay, I got you, God. I know what you're trying to say. I'm going to stop yelling at my wife before it gets out of hand. And please, don't let my friends know it. I remember that happened to me, actually. When I got married first, anger issues. I never knew the anger I had. You know, they say you never know the demons you have till you... Nobody can make you mad like your wife or your woman. I just want to tell you, Paul wrote this in the Bible. He said, it's better for you not to get married. Why? He says, because you'll have... What's the scripture? You'll have pain in the flesh. There's going to be pain that comes with marriage. Yeah, you think it's going to be all rosy, but Paul wrote it in the Bible that with marriage comes certain trials, certain what issues? Yeah, help me out with words. You know the words. Obstacles, thank you, barriers that you have to overcome. So Paul says, if you don't want to overcome them, don't get married. But if you need to get married, well, then don't stay single. Get married, okay? And so that happened to me once. It happened to me. I just had anger issues. And I prayed to God. I said, God, remove it from me. You know? And I'm like, God, You are all powerful. You can do it. And then I came to the scripture. The Bible says, put away all wrath and anger. Put it away. And I'm like, what? Put it away. And I tried to put it away, but it wouldn't go away. And so I said, Holy Spirit, You got to help me. And I made a commitment. I said, before I enter my house, into my staff, please remind me of my problem. Because that's when it's going to start. It's, hi, hello, how you doing in there? And Holy Spirit would remind me. And sometimes I would be like, okay, I got it. It's not a big deal. And one time somebody came to our house. And I was yelling. And I was so embarrassed. And it was her fault still, but I shouldn't have yelled. still... See, the thing about marriage is when you yell, it's your fault now. So guys, whenever we yell at a woman, she never thinks it's her fault. Seriously. So that's why we have to be gentle and nice, so she can realize it's her fault and change. I'm kidding. Sometimes it's our fault. It takes two to be wrong. You know what I mean, though? A lot of times we mess up opportunity for us, for Holy Spirit to work on our partner. We come to them and say, you did wrong, admit it. And women, you know, it takes them longer to admit that they're wrong. You got that right. Thank you for that. and so you're just like, come on, admit it that you're wrong. Say it. You say you're sorry. And she won't say it. So And so you're like, say you're sorry. Like that, yeah. Yeah, you know I'm right. And then she's like, ah, now it's your fault because you're yelling. And then you're like, oh, I'm sorry. But the deal, that issue was never dealt with. But try telling her that she's wrong. You can't now. You yell. You're wrong. You see what I mean? And so Holy Spirit would teach me that way. And you know, when we yell, we lose blessing. You know that things in our life like wrath, lust, pride, they open the doors for demons to come in into our life. Have you ever opened in the summertime a door or window and flies came in? Demons are like flies. They're spiritual microbes. There's fallen angels and there's demons. What's the difference? How can a legion of demons, 6,000 demons, live in one man? Because they, have you ever seen a movie when demons come out of a person? It's like what? Flies. What is a prince of demons called? Beelzebub, the lord of flies. That's why you shouldn't be afraid of demons. They're flies, and we have authority over them. Now, they're strong, because when there's a lot of them inside, what happens to the man who had a legion of demons? He was so strong, they would bind him in chains. And those weren't handcuffs like we have today. Nice and cute. They were chains. They were iron chains. And he was able to break them apart. So when demons come in, they start taking over. And they produce more power. I don't know how it works. Don't ask me. But I know there's a difference between angels and demons. And just like physically, microbes and bacteria and germs attack your physical body and make you sick. Guess what demons do? They attack your emotions. They attack your mind. Not your brain, but your mind. It's what controls your brain. It's the bridge between spiritual and physical. Brain is your physical. Mind is a bridge between spiritual, man. It's a bridge, your mind. Okay? And so they attack your mind. And then when your mind gets attacked, that's why when they take you on MRI, they see all these mind defects, imbalances in the mind. Why? Because not all the time, there's true sicknesses of demonic sicknesses, but there's also physical sicknesses. Sometimes people hurt their brain and they start acting out. So there's the difference, and it's very important to know that difference. But you shouldn't be afraid of demons because they're like flies. But the thing is, whenever we open the door to sin in our life, we stop the blessing to be poured in our life. Blessing is a continuing thing, guys. It's like a faucet, right? When it's open, the water keeps pouring in. But as soon as you close the faucet, the water stops flowing. Blessing is the same way. And what stops the blessing is sin in our life. Adam and Eve was blessed. What stopped the blessing? What brought the curse into their life? Disobedience to God's word. It's disobedience. The thing about blessing and curses, though, and why people sometimes don't pay serious attention to it, is because blessings don't come to pass right away in a person's life. And curses don't come to pass right away in a person's life. They are fluid. They increase. Watch this. God says to Adam and Eve, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Well, Eve ate of a tree. Did she die? No. So notice, the curse didn't came into effect until years later. See, it's the principle of sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, you shall also reap. Same thing with a blessing. Sometimes God says, I'm blessing you. And you're like, I don't see it in my life. Because it's not today. It's a continuum. It's a flow. It's a journey. It's a process. But God says, at the end, there will be difference. He says, I want to give you a great end. Satan wants to give you a great beginning. Pastor Judy says this a lot. She says, sin is fun. Don't let anybody kid you. In the beginning. But in the end, it's destruction. Blessing is maybe not so fun in the beginning because you have to work. You have to labor. You have to fight the good fight of faith. You have to overcome the obstacles. You have to endure temptations. Blessed is the man who endures temptations. You want to fall to the ground. Temptation is hard. It pulls on you. The Bible says, blessed is the man who endures. He says, I'm not going to, I know it's heavy. I know that addiction or whatever it is, it's heavy. But you say, I'm going to endure it. In the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be stronger than this temptation. I'm going to overcome this temptation. And I will be blessed and I will receive the promise, the promise of life. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, because after he's tried, he will receive the crown of life. You know what crown of life is? It's not just eternal life. It's enjoying life. Temptation doesn't seem like it's enjoyable right now. How many of you say amen? And holding it, carrying it, enduring it is hard. A lot of people take the easy way. I'll just fall down. But if you endure it, Bible says at the end, you will receive a crown of life. Life here, I want to say happiness. A crown of happiness. You're going to live. Hallelujah. Sin is what's going to stop the blessing flow into your life. It's going to bring a lot of chaos. It's going to bring a lot of drama. It's going to bring a lot of, you know. But Pastor Alex, I'm going to try to save those people. Yeah, that's great. But don't try saving something you're tempted with. Before you know it, you'll be pregnant by it. Before you know it, you're going to end up in a jail cell. Yeah, I'm going to try to convert it. God says, no. I want you to be blessed. And we're going to open to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And we're going to look at 3 do's of a blessing and 3 don'ts of a blessing. My parents taught this psalm to me when I was 6 years old. How many of you know I didn't understand what it means? Sometimes scriptures that we are taught, we don't really know what it means until we meditate on it. We might know it by memory. See, it's not enough to know Bible by memory. It's important to meditate on it. All right? And let's read this. It says this, blessed is the man, and here's 3 don'ts, who does not walk in a counsel of ungodly. Does not stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. We'll just look at those 3 don'ts today. And next week we'll look at 3 do's of how to be blessed. The interesting thing about the Psalms, that it starts with the word blessing. Why? And it ends with a praise psalm, 150. It doesn't start with trials that David goes through, although it's inside of it. It doesn't start with the sin that David commits, although it's there. Psalm 51, and it doesn't start with fear that he goes through. It starts with a blessing. And at the end, it ends with praise. That's how your life wants, God wants your life to be. It wants your life to start with a blessing and end with praise. Not cursing God and gods, you know, because we start later believing there's many gods if we don't believe in one God. But we start with blessing, and it's the whole package. And the blessing produces praise in our mouth. So number 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in a counsel of ungodly. This is very important, because we need to look at our life and see what is the counsel of ungodly. To know that, you got to know who your friends are. Look at your friends. Who are they? See, a lot of us, and I've heard this, Pastor Alex, I just don't have any friends in church. I just don't connect with church people. See, there's 2 paths. Blessed is the man who does not walk. Let me see here. In a council of ungodly. There's two. There's godly counsel and there's ungodly. Who do you fit with? But I'm there to save them. Hold on. First, let's get you strong enough before you start going and saving your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And like I said, before you know it, you're pregnant and he's not saved. It could be family, it could be people. And you see, a workplace where people who are the counsel of ungodly. And God says, blessed is the man who does not walk in a counsel of ungodly. So where do you walk? What places make you comfortable and what places does not make you comfortable? You say, I'm a Christian, but you're not comfortable in church. You say you're a Christian, but you're super comfortable in a club, in a strip club. There, do you see the problem with that? You say you're a Christian, but as soon as the church is over, you run out of the door and we never see you till next Sunday. You don't want to live life with anybody. You don't want to have fun with anybody. You don't want to hang out with anybody. All you do is you have your private life and your church life. And your church life is 1 hour and 15 minutes on Sunday. And that's done. If that's you, that describes that you love the ungodly. You live in a council of ungodly. And the Bible says if you want to be blessed, you got to stop living in that standing or what does it say? Do not walk in a council of ungodly. You got to stop walking in it. You got to stop walking in that council. You got to, but I have social needs and there's no people in the church that I can hang out with. I just don't connect with them. Well, why not? If you're a Christian, then you should connect with another Christian. It's a spirit thing. Amen. Sometimes this lady who cleans this church, she could talk to you to me for hours. You know what I'm talking about? But she has blessed me so many times in my life. I could say I don't connect with her. But there is bigger connection. There is a spirit connection. If you cuss and another man loves to cuss, you will feel right at home. And Bible says, blessed is the man who does not walk in a council of ungodly. Don't walk in an area of your temptation. Don't walk in an area of your temptation. Number two. It says, does not stand in the path of sinners. There's two paths. There's a narrow path and there is a wide boulevard or highway. And one leads to life and one leads to destruction. And so you say, well, this narrow road, I don't like it. So I'm going to just stand. I'm not going to do anything. Brother Tony, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to stand. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to drink. I'm just going to be at a bar. But I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to put no money into women's. But I'm going to be in a strip club because, you know, I'm going to be in the places where he's going to flirt with me. But I'm not going to take him home, Pastor Alex. No. He's not coming to my home. Oh, no. That's not happening. Oh, no. Ooh. See, that's standing in a path of sinners. You might not be doing anything, but eventually what happens, sin starts, you become numb to sin. And before you know it, it doesn't bother you anymore. Do you know that I could tell what kingdom you serve by who you defend? You know that Katy Perry grew up in a pastor's home? She spoke in tongues. Yeah. I know, your favorite singer, huh? I'm going to bash them right now. I'm going to beat them up a little bit. They deserve it. And now, when you listen to her and see what she stands for, you know she does. She says she's still a Christian and Jesus loves everybody. But what she defends is not the kingdom principles. It's not the Bible. You can say whatever you want to me, but what do you defend? Where do you stand? What path do you stand? I could tell who you are, what path you stand on. Now, nobody's perfect. And I'm not talking about perfection. And I'm not saying that I don't sometimes end up standing somewhere where I don't belong. But the goal is not to excuse our behavior. Whoa. See, God. That's God. Amen, God. Joking, that's a joke. It's a microphone. Technology. And before you know, you're standing in a way of sinners. Before you know, you got drunk. And before you know, you got in a fight with your wife. And before you know, the neighbors heard. And before you know, she's cussing you out. And she's drunk too, or he's drunk too. And a mess is happening. Before you know, you're slapping each other. Before you know, he's under the table. I do not know. That's extreme. But you would be surprised how much that happens. Because you just stood there. You just stood there. You got teased by it. It's like cake. Being standing in front of it. You're going to bite it. You're going to bite it. Come on. Bible says, do not stand on the path of sinners. Because before you know it, you are in a place where you never thought you could be. That's how sin works. He loves taking you. That's why it's lure. It's slow. It's patient. The devil is patient. And he loves to just lure you. Come on, we got fishy. Come on now. Come on. Bite it. And then before you know it, you were thinking about it. You were dreaming about it. And then, you're eating it now. And then it starts being poison. Because that's, if God is a creator, you know, everything he does creates, builds, multiplies. Satan is a destroyer. Everything he does is designed to bring to death. Maybe not right away, but eventually. Third step, it says this. Nor sits in a seat of scornful. Can I have a chair? Can somebody bring me just one chair? I know I have a chair, but I just want to wake you up. A chair. This is what happens. Put that money bucket over here. Watch the steps of it. Blessed is the man who does not walk in a counsel of ungodly. So you start walking around. Whatever the cup is for you, whatever the temptation is for you, start walking around. And then Bible says, nor stands in the path of sinners. Then we start standing and looking in. Don't, as long as I don't touch, I can look, but I can't touch. So you're walking around. And then, watch the third step. She stands. Then the Bible says she sits in the seat of scornful. Then he, well, might as well sit down. I'm already here. So he sits down. So now he's sitting. Now he's in it. Now he bit the bait. Now he's sitting here and he feels guilty. Because Satan comes to you and says, wow, look what you've done. So you start, guess what people start doing? Instead of getting up and saying, Jesus, help me, they start making excuses for it. That's okay. God wants me to have fun. Come on, nobody does it the biblical way anymore. Come on. And you start defending it. And before you know it, now you start protecting it. Rationalizing, you coming up with excuses why you do this and why it's okay for you. You start coming with scriptures. God loves us. Nobody's perfect. And look at David. And look at, he killed a man. I'm not that bad. I never killed anybody. He starts sitting on this seat. And before you know it, because we defend our behaviors, you start defending it. And before you know, you start protecting it. This is mine. Don't you dare attack it. And when pastor says something against this, guess what you do? Inside you go, I'm not coming to this church. I'm not giving you any money. This is not bad. This is not bad. Before you know it, you start yelling. And then before you know it, you don't believe the Bible anymore. Because you're sitting in the seat of the scornful. That's how it works. It's subtle. It's slow. And you know how it works. And so I'm hearing the Spirit of God says, what are you defending in your life that you know you shouldn't be defending? not saying, you might think, the reason I'm defending it because I can't change it. Have you ever felt that? I've tried fighting with this issue in my life, right? But it's just too hard. I just can't do it. See, the way Bible looks at it, he says we accept our salvation by faith. Do you know that by faith means, if you want the house by faith, what does that mean? You don't have it yet. Our salvation is by faith because real salvation will happen when? When we pass the great life. Let me just make it simple. The real salvation happens when you die. Instead of going to hell and demons pulling you into hell, guess what? Jesus does this. Andre. Come on. See, there's some... Yana, pull him. See, I don't know what to do. I don't know who I love more. No, I'm just kidding. See, but Bible says, in the meantime, you're saved by faith. In the meantime, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're saved by faith. The real salvation happened when you die. The moment your spirit leaves your body, that's when salvation happens. But right now, you're saved by faith. Same thing with sin. Sometimes the death of sin does not come when you declare it's death. By faith, you say, I'm free from this sin. And I'm not going to make excuses for it. I'm not going to sit in a seat and defend it. I'm not going to defend it. I know I still struggle with it, but I'll never make it okay in my mind. You see what I mean? You might be struggling with greed or lying. Don't defend it. Don't protect it and make excuses for it. Say, I got a problem with sin. And you are lying, spirit. I'm not going to believe in you. Lying is the language of the demons. Its tongue is, Bible says, powered from hell. James chapter 1 or 2, something like that. So the point is, you might not defeat him today. This thing might have control over you, but you're not going to make excuses for it. You're not going to come up with reasons why it's okay for you to do it. You're not going to be deceived by it. Amen? Paul says, I discipline my body, and I got 3 minutes, that preaching to others, I myself will not be found disqualified. There's two disciplines. There's outward discipline, and there's inner discipline. Paul says, I'm disciplining my body. He wasn't talking. You know how Bible says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice? And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know, like sometimes we get conformed to the world, we start looking like them. But you know that could happen in church as well. You can start being conformed to the church. If I was Satan and wanted to conform to your church, what would I do? I would start looking like you. I would start acting like you on the outside. If I was a woman, I would start dressing like you. I would start doing hairdos like you, right? See, that's still conforming. Either to the world or to the church. That I would start using lingual like you. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I would start using the, I have joy. Ooh. Right? If I wanted to conform to the church. Bible says, don't be conformed to anything. Be transformed. Transformed reminds me of a caterpillar being becoming a butterfly. That's the difference. That's what God wants you to do. From the inside to be transformed. And a lot of church people, and not in this church though, but a lot of church people, we like to conform to the church. And we think as soon as I start looking like them, that means I got Jesus. No. It has to come from the inside. I don't care what you look. I played that game myself before. I don't want to be looking like you. I don't want to talk like you. Just because I want to know what I'm saying. I want to know who is in my life. Who is Jesus? I want him to work in my life. I want to feel him. I want to know him. I want to walk with him. I want to talk with him. I want a real thing. I'm tired of religion. I'm not going to do religion. I want Jesus.